still sung. We'll be turning this morning to Hebrews chapter 4. We'll start there in that passage this morning, Hebrews chapter 4. Please, if you found your place there in the Word of God, stand with me in reverence to the Scriptures. Hebrews chapter 4, we're going to begin reading in verse 14. Verse 14, Hebrews chapter 4. Listen, it says, "See then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." In verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." This morning's message is "At the Throne of Grace." Father, we bow before you once again. And again, we do indeed come to you in that name, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, we approach your throne of grace this morning in His name. Through the price that was paid with His blood. So, Father, we thank you for giving us your ear. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us, even this moment, at that very throne. Lord, please, today I'm asking you, work in our midst. Lord, I don't know what the needs may be across this auditorium, but you certainly do every need. And I'm asking you, Lord, to do, to work, to accomplish tremendous eternal things. Lord, I'm asking you to work in every believer's heart and life. May we be challenged. May we be encouraged. May we be rebuked, reproved where needed. Also pray, Father, for anyone who may be here today that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, I'm asking you, please, might they see Jesus. Might they see past a preacher, past even a church, and see you, Lord. Gave your Son for us. Might they see your Son who laid down His life, shed His blood to pay the price of our sin. Oh, Lord, I'm asking you, in Jesus' name, loosen a stammering tongue, Lord, please. Give clarity of thought that we would hear from you and not a preacher. That you would design that message for our souls today. In that lovely name, the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Of course, you may be seated. We began a series of messages last Sunday morning talking about being channels of God's grace. The obvious and opening point was that to be a channel of God's grace, we need to be recipients of God's grace. We need to be those that have been saved, those that know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Then last Sunday night, we delved into the how important it is that if we are going to be channels of God's grace, that we need to be saturated in the message of grace, saturated in the Word of God. And this morning, we go on in this series of messages and talking about how to be a channel of God's grace. We also need to be intercessors. We need to be a praying people. We need to be a praying people. Indeed. Jesus made it so clear as we would introduce. He made it so clear that salvation by grace was not optional. That if you're going to have that relationship with God, if you are going to one day go to heaven, you will go to heaven through Him. Jesus said, Jesus said, ye must be born again in John chapter 3. You absolutely necessity of being born again. It is indeed God's one and only way to His heaven. Jesus also said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There was no ego involved there. There was no boasting involved there. Jesus was that channel, that ultimate channel of God's grace. He laid down His life, shed His blood that you and I could be saved. But once a person has been saved by the grace of God, he receives then the ability with that grace to be a channel of His grace. To be a channel of His grace. And as a channel of God's grace, a saved person has the amazing, tremendous privilege to come to the very throne of grace. The very throne of God. We just read in Hebrews chapter 4, once again looking at verse 16 there. Hebrews 4, verse 16. Paul writes and he says, this tremendous, tremendous word, let us therefore, in the verses 14 and 15, explain that because of what Jesus has done, because we have that high priest that represents us before His Father, because we have one that has made the way open for us, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Yes, indeed, beloved, a channel of God's grace will understand the necessity of the throne of grace, will be an intercessor in prayer. That should be automatic. That should be automatic for anyone that acknowledges, that realizes their own need of God's help, His gracious help. Do you realize that this morning, beloved? We need God. When do we need God? Constantly. Every moment of every day, we need Him. And the great thing is that our God wants us to come to Him. He invites us to come to Him for those needs. And, beloved, He promises to hear and answer those who seek Him. To seek Him in the name of His Son. In the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John chapter 14, I'll read this. Jesus says this in John chapter 14. Picking up there in that chapter in verse 13. He says, whatsoever ye shall ask in My name, that will I do. Isn't that an amazing statement? Whatsoever you shall ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in My name, I will do it. Wow. Who can make that? Who is He speaking to? His followers. His people. The New Testament. The New Testament is loaded with instruction about prayer. But also the instruction to you and I to pray. We are to be a praying people. Paul gives us one of the simplest commands in all the Bible. I believe it's got to be one of the simplest commands in all the Bible. He said very simply, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Wow. Well, today, we're going to focus on praying for or on the behalf of others. Praying for or on the behalf of others. We call that intercessory prayer. Or the idea of interceding with God on behalf of others. You know, I've been dealing with this subject all week. And I can't escape the idea, the thought, the truth that that word conveys, to intercede. It also has the idea to intervene. What are you doing when you intervene? These two young fellows back here look pretty friendly to each other. But if they weren't so friendly and it looked like they were about to go to Dukes with each other, hopefully some of us, or at least one of us, would try to what? Intervene. Intervene. We would literally step in. Well, I don't know. They look pretty tough. I don't know if I want to step. But the idea would be to step in between them. And to intercede for someone in prayer, to intercede for the lost, intercede for each other, is to stand between them and God on their behalf. Is that not a tremendous privilege? Oh my, might the Lord teach us something about that very thing today. In Ephesians chapter 6, you can turn there, please. Ephesians chapter 6. We see there that Paul writes to that church in Ephesus. And he tells them about being channels of God's grace for other believers. Channels of God's grace will intercede with God for other believers. If you found your place there in Ephesians 6, we read this. Paul writes, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, or all believers, all Christians, is what he's in telling us. Listen to that again. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching, being vigilant thereunto with perseverance. That means staying with it. Persistence, in spite, the idea of the word of to persevere means to stay with it even when it's tough. To continue to persevere even when it's hard. I don't know about you, but sometimes this whole thing gets kind of tough. We're almost ready to throw in the towel. Well, this word about prayer comes at the close of a very, very interesting passage of Scripture. It comes at the close of Paul's instruction there in Ephesians 6 on the armor of God. The armor that God has provided for us to protect us. And just as a preface, I believe when I read that, then that each piece of that armor represents the Lord Jesus Christ. That He is, He personifies that protection. He is, beloved, our armor, our protection. Indeed. Verses, in that passage, verses 10 through 18, the armor of God is a requirement, as we read in verse 13, to be able to withstand in the evil day. Are we living in an evil day? I don't think there's any question about that. Evil is waxing worse and worse, as the Bible might say. Evil men and seducers are everywhere. We're living in a day, the Bible warns us, where even the elect could be deceived. Lord, help us to be able to withstand in this evil day. Beloved, we are in a great war. It is a war between the rulers of darkness of this world in which we live and the God of glory. Between the rulers of darkness of this world and the God of glory. And God has given us all the protective equipment we need to have victory, to protect us in this battle. I mean, it's amazing. And what the modern soldier has to protect him in warfare now. It's just amazing what our young men and women have, the equipment they have. But beloved, as great as that equipment is, it is no comparison to the equipment, the armor that has been provided to us by God. God has given us everything we need. And Paul stresses along with that, along with preparing for the battle, being ready for the war that we're in. Prayer. prayer, the importance of prayer in the battle. Well, Satan is threatened when a believer prays. Satan's threatened when a believer prays. Satan does not fear the prayerless. Satan does not fear flowery words in our prayers. Huh? Now look at that. Doesn't matter the words. Matters the heart. Yes, indeed. He fears a Christian praying in faith to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Then hell quakes, beloved. Maybe you don't see prayer as a place of battle. Maybe you don't think that prayer is a time of warfare. But every time you bow your head to pray, you are entering onto the front lines of the spiritual warfare. Now listen to this. You might not believe it, but I believe this with everything that I am. That when you enter into the spiritual warfare, the battle against the rulers of the darkness of this world and the God of glory, you're in the fiercest battle of the universe. Remember these very important words from James. James wrote in chapter 5, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Did you get that? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's why Satan fears a person that prays in the power of the Holy Ghost. Power of the Holy Spirit. But also understand this. The devil, that old evil one, will do everything he can to hinder prayer. To hinder your prayer. To hinder my prayer. To keep us from effectually praying. You believe that? Every person who sought to give themselves to pray understands this. Just an example, beloved. If you give yourself to pray, you understand how easy it is for your thoughts to wander to other things while you're trying to pray. It's in the part of the spiritual warfare. You begin to pray for dear Uncle Lou who needs a heart transplant. And immediately your mind starts thinking about how you need to transplant your tomatoes. And then you think, oh yeah, I got to stop and get lettuce on the way home. And on it goes. And before we realize it, we're not even praying anymore. Fervent prayer is exhausting. Fervent prayer is exhausting. Have you ever fallen asleep while you were praying? I have. I mean, it's not. If you're going to fall asleep, that's not a bad way to fall asleep with the Lord. But fervent prayer is exhausting. The worst thing for me to do is get in a nice, comfortable. The recliner is not the place for me to go to pray. I mean, I sit down in the recliner and wait to see if Marcia says amen. I mean, just sit down in the recliner and 10 minutes later, Jim. I'm gone. It's not a place for me if I want to pray. If I want to pray. Oh my. And then even on beside all that, our material needs so often dominate our thoughts in prayer. Don't they not? Lord, help us. Lord, help us to meet this month's mortgage payment. Lord, you know that old car of mine leaning more and more towards the junkyard. Meanwhile, we forget the eternal things. We forget the eternal need of souls and the cause of Christ and God's kingdom. All those things, beloved, fight against us. We're going to make a difference in this battle. The kingdom of God. Paul writes there in Ephesians 6, verse 18, that we're to be praying always. Put those two things together. We're to be praying always, but he also says we are to pray with all prayer. With all prayer. With all prayer and supplication. And must not forget, in the Spirit. We can't overemphasize the importance of praying in the Spirit. Now we're going to get specifically to intercession in a moment. But notice what Paul says here. He says we are to be praying always with all prayer and supplication. Praying always. We read earlier from Thessalonians that we're to be pray without ceasing. Wow. Now it's good, beloved, it's good to give ourselves to uninterrupted seasons of prayer. But please don't be confused. Paul's not telling us that we need to be literally praying every moment of every day and every night. That's not what he's saying. He's encouraging us. This is so important. He's challenging us. He's encouraging us to live in the constant understanding, the constant realization of our need, that we need God's help, His intervention in our lives every moment of every day. And as we live in that realization, it'll have impact on everything we do. Everything we do. It means that with every decision, every choice we make, that we will want God's direction. We'll want God's leadership. Praying always requires us, requires me, it requires you to live in dependence on God. Do we understand that? Oh no, we live in Texas. We can handle things ourselves around here. Much to our own dismay. There are times when that independent spirit hinders us. We need God. We need God. Wow. Praying requires that dependence on God. It'll cause us then, as Paul challenges us, to be watching. It'll cause us to be watching thereunto with that perseverance. If I understand, I need Him. I need Him for everything that's going on. What will that'll cause me to be dependent on Him. It'll cause me to be watching with perseverance. For His direction, His leadership. Lord, help me. Paul mentions here in this verse, prayer and supplication. Prayer and supplication. What's the difference between prayer and supplication? Well, the word there for prayer is the general word, the general New Testament word for prayer, and it simply means to ask. To ask, make a request. But we also find that word supplication. In fact, it's twice in the same verse. This word means to ask, indeed, but it means to ask or to plead with someone. To ask or to plead for something with urgency. It's a difference, isn't it? To plead, to ask, to make that request with that sense of urgency. I think that's where the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man comes in. You know what it puts me in mind of? Begging. This word supplication puts me in mind of begging. Now think about it. Are we willing to humble ourselves and beg God for our own and others' needs? There's no place for pride at the throne of grace. Do we get that? We can't come to the throne of grace before this mighty high priest who's done so much for us, the Lord Jesus Christ, with pride in our hearts. No. You know, it's not mandatory. It's not mandatory to pray on your knees. You can pray anywhere and any physical position. You can pray in the car. You can pray at the house. You can pray on the job. Now think about this. Isn't there something humbling about being on your knees? So whether we're physically, spiritually, we should be on our knees. What do we do when we pray? I mean, you can pray driving down the road, please. But normally, we don't bow our head driving down the road. But when we bow our head to pray, it's again, what's it signifying? It signifies humility. Once again, please don't bow your head when you're... At least, if you're going to do that, call me first. I'll meet you at the emergency room. We're to pray, beloved, for other believers. What's that verse 18 say? With all perseverance and supplication for all saints. For other believers. Brothers and sisters in Christ, are we begging God for each other? Making that supplication with perseverance for each other. For each other. You know, Paul was not too proud to ask prayer for himself. Notice in our passage there in Ephesians chapter 6. We've looked at verse 6, verse 18. In verse 18, he instructs us to pray for all saints, but he goes on to ask prayer for himself. Verse 19 says, "And as you pray for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in bonds, that I'm therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Paul wasn't too proud. Paul understood he needed God's help. Certainly he understood that if he was going to be effectual in the ministry, the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, he needed God's help. Beloved, I'm not ashamed to ask you to pray for me in exactly the same way. I know I need God's help every moment of every day, and I especially plead with you to pray for me when I stand before you and behind what I consider a holy desk. That the Lord would enable me, help me to speak the truth of God's Word boldly, unapologetically, without fear of man, or as it may get to be, without the fear of man or government or any societal notions that they might have. We're to pray for other believers. But we also see here in the Scriptures that we are to be channels of God's grace for all men. It's interesting. For all men. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 2. You're familiar with this passage and these verses. Being channels of God's grace will mean that we intercede for all men. There in 1 Timothy, Paul's writing to his young preacher friend. And in chapter 2, verse 1, he says this. Now listen. I exhort therefore. You know what that word exhort means? He says, I implore you. I'm appealing to you, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, there's our word, intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men. Are we praying for everybody? Are we praying for all men? Well, obviously, we can't pray for the world's population by name. I lost track after about the 3rd or 4th billion. Obviously. But certainly, we can be praying for the spiritual condition of this community in which we live. We certainly can be praying for the city of Fort Worth and the state of Texas, this land in which we live. Huh? The people that we encounter daily should certainly be prayed for. Are we praying? Are we praying that we might have God-honoring contact with people every day? We can intercede for people that we haven't even run into yet. Huh? The folks that we may have opportunity to talk to about Christ today. Regardless of society's attitude towards God, and in these days, regardless of the government's attitude towards God and the gospel, our most effective weapon against evil is prayer. We've got to get that. We've got to get that. Our most effective weapon against the evil of the age is not the arm of the flesh. It's our knees in prayer. On our knees before that throne of grace. I have to continually remind myself. Oh, I'll go ahead and read it. As it says here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. First of all, supplications, prayers, and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men. The passage doesn't stop there. It says for kings and for all that are in authority, we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this, listen to this, for this is good and acceptable. You know what that word acceptable means? Pleasing. This is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior. I have to confess. Paul gets kind of specific there, doesn't he? And I confess that it's hard for me to pray for all men as is commanded here. But, beloved, rather than be complaining who might be in the Oval Office, I should be praying for them. Begging God to work in them and in their life. Huh? We should be praying that God might be pleased, huh, to save those people. What do you think? What do you think? If God would be pleased to save Joe Biden, do you think it might affect his policies? Huh? Oh, I'm good at complaining. My dear wife has to hear me all the time. I sound like an old squeaky wheel. But you know what the oil is? Prayer in the Spirit of God. Prayer in the Spirit of God. Oh my, God, forgive me. Forgive me for my unfaithfulness. We should be pleading with Him to save our president. Save those who advise him and are around him. Do you believe God could, do you believe that God could sneak a Christian into the White House? I believe He could. You thought I was going to jump right in your lap, didn't you? I haven't done that for years. I might be due. Yeah. We see we should be praying for all men, and indeed with that we certainly, as we see here in our passage, the channels of grace will intercede for the lost. What's verse 4, 2 Timothy say there? Who will have all men to be saved? Who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth? Wow. Yeah. Brethren, Paul wrote, brethren, Romans chapter 10, verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. They might be saved. Oh my. In the verses we just read about prayer, Paul tells us that it's God's desire that all men be saved. Do we think about the lost the way God thinks about the lost? Well, I have to chastise myself there continually. God wants people to be saved. It says, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He wants them to come to the knowledge, the understanding of truth. What truth? Well, in the context of the passage, I believe it's got to be the truth of the gospel. Of the saving grace of God. It's where it all begins. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. God tells us that God is, listen, that God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come. How many? That all should come to repentance. Oh man, how bad do we want to see folks saved? I'm asking myself that. How bad do we want to see souls saved? We must be willing to step in. Step in and intervene between the lost and the God of glory. That wasn't hard for me when I was praying for my three daughters to be saved. That wasn't hard for me when I was praying for my dad and my mother and my dying brother some years ago. Well, it wasn't hard at all for me to beg God for their souls. But how about that guy down the street that annoys you every time he goes past your house with that noisy muffler? Are we praying? Are we willing to step in and intervene on behalf of the lost? Does the condition of the lost people all around us send us to our knees in tears? Does it break our heart that they're on their way? Listen, does it break our heart that they're on their way to a Christless eternity under the wrath and judgment of God? Does it break our hearts? My, listen to Paul's heart. In the previous chapter in Romans chapter 9, picking up there in verse 1, here's Paul's words. He says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bear me witness in the Holy Ghost. Listen, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish myself accursed from Christ, from my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Now, Paul's the theologian of the New Testament. Even in his very letter to the Romans, he makes it clear that we can't lose our salvation. He understood that. But that was the burden of his heart. His heart ached for his fellow Jews, his brethren according, his kinsmen according to the flesh. Wow, he's expressing that great, great burden that they be saved quickly. To close, channels of grace. Now, let's get this. Channels of grace. You and I that are saved will believe that God hears their intercession. When I make that statement, I wonder if we pray so little because we don't really believe God hears us and will act. Here's the question for us who would pray. Here's the question for us who would pray and intercede with God for souls. Does God desire to save? We've established that, haven't we? We see it from Scripture. We've established that. Does God want us to pray for other believers and for the lost? We see that. We've seen that from the Word of God. So then, the great question is, does God hear and act on the believer's prayer? On the believer's prayer. I'm so thankful the Bible tells us. In 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, we read there in verses 14 and 15. Oh, this is so good. 1 John 5, verse 14. Now listen. It says, and this is the confidence. This is the confidence that we have in Him. That word confidence has the idea of assurance, but even more than that, it has the idea of a bold assurance. We boldly come to the throne of grace. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, what did we say? Does God want us to pray? Does God want us to pray for others and for the lost? Would praying for the lost, that lost neighbor, that lost child, friend, would that be in the will of God? Absolutely. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And verse 15 says, and if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire to Him. Should we pray, beloved? Should we be interceding for each other and for the lost? Yes! Oh, that we would boldly pray, begging and believing God for each other and for the souls of people. We need to beg God, to plead with God, that they not enter eternity lost and under the wrath of their sin. Channel God's grace. We intercede for others. Are we interceding? How important is prayer in our lives? How important is prayer? You want to know the answer? It's as important as the priority you give it in your life. As I give it in my life. Oh my. Are we willing to intervene on the behalf of lost souls in that danger of eternal damnation? Maybe you're here this morning and you don't have that peace, that confidence in your heart that you're saved. You don't know where you would, if you took your last breath today, you do not know where you would spend eternity. I want you to know something. You have been prayed for today by myself and by others before our day even began here at Metropolitan Baptist Church. Men gathered in that back room and we were begging God to act, to do, to save souls. I plead with you. God's speaking to your heart concerning your need right now. Cry out to Him, Jesus, save me. I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm lost and undone. I know I need You, God. Save me. Save me. I got to say one last thing to believers, church members. Why is it so hard to get believers to prayer meetings? Why is it so hard to even get men? I mean, we even have food. Why is it so hard to get men to the men's prayer breakfast? I don't understand that. If we understand the importance of prayer, the place that prayer has, from beginning to end, cover to cover, we learn two things. How much we need God and how frail and weak we are. We learn the inability of the arm of man's flesh and the mighty power of God. Doesn't make sense that somebody would skip a prayer meeting. Skip an opportunity to pray with his brothers and sisters in Christ? That doesn't make sense to me. Where the victory will be won will not be in what I can do by my flesh,
right,
but what God does in answer to prayer. Oh, that we would learn that. If we actually believed, if we actually believe that effectual, fervent prayer changes things, then our prayer rooms would be packed out. I don't have to stand together. Father, forgive me for my prayerlessness. Forgive me, Father, for how often I may enter in and by the arm of the flesh try to accomplish what you would do. Lord, I'm asking You in Jesus' name, teach us to pray. Lord, as Your disciples came to You and asked You to teach them to pray, Lord, teach us. Might we learn in the school of prayer with You. Oh God, I beg You, in Jesus' name, hear our cries this morning. Lord, I want to beg You on behalf of anyone that is in this room at this moment that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, I'm praying. I'm asking You, Father, that You go right to where they are at this moment. Deal with them, Father. Might they sense You're working in their heart. Might they sense that You love them and that You care about them. And that You, Father, gave Your only begotten Son for them. Just
so loved them. But your Son gave His life to pay the price of their sin. Oh God, please. Please save. But Lord, as well, I pray for every Christian, starting with this preacher. Father, I pray. I'm asking You, help us in this. God, I'm asking You, as we would come to Your throne of grace, that we would go there to find that mercy and grace in time of need. You'd show Yourself mighty, Lord. God, I'm asking You for these dear ones in this room, my brothers and my sisters in Christ. Lord, would You be pleased to show us that You are a God that acts on the prayers of Your children. God, today, pray for our church, Lord. Pray for each member, each part of this body. God, please strengthen us these days in Your Spirit. Lord, I know still folks unable to join us in services, unable because of physical needs and other. But there's still others, Father, that aren't here out of fear, out of worry. Others, Father, that aren't here because other things were more important to them. Lord, please today be merciful and manifest Your grace. God, please. We so need You, Lord. Thank You. Thank You for Jesus, Lord. Thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your grace. For it is in the lovely, beautiful name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Amen. Brother John.
Page 118.
Can peace afford? I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour. Stay Thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when Thou art nigh. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour, in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour, most holy One. Oh, make me Thine indeed, Thou blessed Son. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to Thee.
This morning's message was supposed to be one point in a what do you want to call a many point message, but
Lord, just I'm thankful the Lord just worked me over so much this week. This matter of prayer. I believe in prayer. Amen. But it's so easy.
So easy to think we can handle things, we can take care of this, we can fix that. When God is just there inviting us, don't tell.
I'll take care of this for you. Trust me. Lord, help us to be a praying people. People of prayer.
Your mindful church family, members of Metropolitan, that we'll be celebrating the Lord's Supper tonight. Great honor to do that. So please be in your place. Amen. Brother John.
...163, if you need the words, the Lord is good.